Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Can we be there?
And we are here.
Think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
You just play by day.
Backhand shot. They score. The Avalanche connect on the power play with just under 7 minutes remaining. Puck is loose. Backhand shot. Score. JT Comfort. 2 goals in 10 seconds for Colorado. Here is Landeskog setting up McKinnon. And then in front, Branson, it scores. 3-0 Colorado. 3 goals in 1 minute, 23 seconds. The Colorado Avalanche take game one over the Arizona Coyotes by the score of 3-0.
Woo-hoo! Getting things off on the right foot.
Yes.
Yesterday. That was awesome. Why did I make your day?
Well, because I just saw you over there shaking your head like, what's going on over there? You're looking at your computer like shaking your head. I was like, yes.
It wanted to reboot like right as I'm signing.
I made my day right there. Put me in a great mood today.
Look at you, man.
The Avs yesterday, that was great. I was worried there for a while.
Same.
Because anytime you're dominating the way that they were dominating, I mean, just controlling the game.
Yep.
Just control. But you can't get it by, what's the goalie's name?
Kemper.
Kemper.
Darcy.
Darcy.
Good old Darcy.
Yeah, good old Darcy.
Hey, let's name him Darcy.
Yeah. Oh, it's a boy. Well, we're going to stay with the same name. Nah, screw it. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We're good. We'll get over it. I mean, but stinking Darcy,
he was freaking brilliant, man.
He was unbelievable.
Look, I told you about him yesterday.
I know you did, Zach.
Were you thinking of me during the game?
I was. Every time. He made a save, and he was great.
He was.
Those are the things as a favorite, you know, when you're dominating a game and all of a sudden it's still 0-0 halfway through the third, and you're just like, wow, they're going to get a lucky goal here.
Right.
They're going to get a lucky goal here. They had a couple opportunities, you know, on turnovers.
Yep.
But when you dominate a game like that and you can't get one by the goalie, it becomes frustrating. And I just thought, man, they're going to get a lucky one here and they're going to win 1-0.
Yep. I thought the same exact thing. And shout out to the entire team for just keeping their head on their shoulders and not getting frustrated. I heard, I think it was Eric Johnson, who said after the game, like, we were talking about this during the intermissions, like, stay the course. What we're doing is the right thing. Don't overextend yourself. The Avs had like 3-1 shots on goal. I mean, there was a 10-minute stretch in the first period where the Coyotes didn't get a shot on goal. There's a 9-minute stretch in the second period where they don't even get a single shot on goal. And they had nothing to show for it. After 54 minutes of hockey, nothing to show for it. And then a minute and 23 seconds later, it's 3-0. I mean, unbelievable. You're talking about an avalanche. That's what we saw. And the dam broke. And I'll tell you what. Those last two goals, I believe, were as significant as Kadri's first goal. Because this dude has been standing on his head. Okay? Darcy Kemper. In the Nashville series, where they won 3-1, he had 152 saves. The dude was unconscious. Probably the best a goaltender in the restart, and he was brilliant. You know what, he saved 93% of the shots yesterday, but when it came, it's bang, bang, bang. The floodgates opened, and there's no longer like this unsolvable riddle between the pipes. You didn't win 1-0. You won 3-0. Now it's time to open them up. You get that cut in the fight?
Yeah.
Eyebrow cut, open them up.
Mentally. Play that mental game with them a little bit. Do that psychology stuff, right? That can go a long way. It wasn't like, okay, they got one lucky goal here. No, it was bam, bam, we can do this.
Yes.
Let's just keep going at him. We know he's great, but if we continue to go at him, we can break him. And, yes, that can go a long way. But it was like you said, that was well said. It was an avalanche of goals there. And the next thing you know, it's like, okay, we got one. That's going to be great. Once we got two, all right, this thing is definitely over. And then we got three. It's like, all right, time to go.
Yep.
Let's go to Chili's. Time to go eat.
Let's go to Chili's. Boys. Let's go. The Coyotes are not on the same level of the Avs.
No.
They're just not. Even when it was 0-0, it's like a game where you feel like you're dominating the football game, but you may turn it over in the red zone. You had nothing to show for it after you jam it down their throat 85 yards.
Control of the time of possession at halftime, and the game's still, 7-3 somehow, some way. And it's just like, wait, how is this game this close?
Right.
We should be winning 21-0 here. How is it 7-3? But yes, you're spot on there.
And Nazem Kadri mentioned him yesterday. This is redemption time for him. 2 years in a row, this guy was a knucklehead and got himself suspended. His team went on to lose in seven games both times. Think about that. Think about how much you'd be screwing your team over. You get ejected in postseason play in consecutive years, and they go on to lose in Game 7 without you? That stings. So it's the redemption tour for Nazem Kadri, and I'm glad he's on the Avalanche side this time around because he's a really good player. Put up a team-high seven shots on goal, a game-high, in fact, seven shots on goal. So that was, man, and you were talking about it yesterday. There is nothing like playoff hockey. The intensity is palpable. There's no fans, and I still feel the same way. I'm on the edge of my seat for all 60 minutes, or at least 55 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, it's not quite the same without the fans.
Well, clear, sure.
Right, none of them are. It is playoff hockey, but I don't know. It takes something away from me watching it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now, I love going to playoff hockey games.
You were there last year.
Yeah, last couple years. And so that, to me, is my favorite besides football. But it's, it's just not quite that. I don't know if it's the buzz, the energy from the fans, or what it is for me, but it wasn't quite the same watching it yesterday. Maybe it's because the Avs just dominated the whole game, and the way they dominated it, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what it was.
You know what? There's clearly kind of an elephant in the room. There's not 20,000 people screaming their heads off.
It's not going to be the same.
It's not going to be the same. But for me yesterday, I told you this yesterday, I haven't watched a lot of Avalanche hockey this year for the reasons that we all know and understand. So for me, it was so exciting to be, flipping back and forth between the Rockies, who got their head kicked in. We'll get to them soon. Because I'll tell you what, hey, if something's too good to be true, what do they say?
No. They don't say anything. We're not saying that right now.
When it comes to the relief pitching,
I know what you're talking
water's
about.
Water's finding its level here a little bit.
I know what you're talking about. Hey, can we have one bad outing? One and a half?
Stoke?
One and a half?
We'll get to that. But it was so cool flipping back and forth. And, I'm on the Avs for the series, admittedly, okay? So I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm rooting for these guys like crazy. I'm having so much fun watching them. And then I watched the Nuggets last night.
You're on the Avs for the series.
That's right. Rockies.
Everybody is. We're all pulling for the Avs.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think I meant?
I don't know. Because I think I agree with you. I'm probably there with you.
I know you are. George Karl. The one and the only who's turned into a real friend of the show and now officially a friend of this station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Coach, there is a divisive topic here in town today, and really it's been the last couple days, the way that Mike Malone is handling the Nuggets starters ahead of the NBA playoffs. I personally, speaking for Zach here, I am A-okay with a professional basketball team trying to line up the best possible matchup in the playoffs. My partner, Brandon Stokely, who is a 15-year NFL veteran, loves to compete, and he says you should be rolling your guys out there and not scared of anyone in the first round if you're good enough. What say you, Coach?
I'm probably closer to your partner than to you. I like to win in the summer league games. My coaching staff thought I was crazy because I wanted to win summer league games. So, there's an edge to competition. I can't deny that I'm a little confused these last couple games because, I look at it, it's more like an exhibition season. And I always tried to play the last one or two games of the exhibition season like it was a regular season game. And that didn't happen, and it hasn't happened. And I don't know how severe the Harris and Barton injuries are. But if they're going to play a lot of minutes in the first round, they're going to be rusty. They just haven't played enough basketball to play. And the thing that I try to explain to players about this all the time, is regular season and playoffs are different style of basketball. They're different focus. They're different intensity. There's different camaraderie. There's a demand, and there's a different stress. It comes in different packages. And the one thing that the Denver Nuggets don't have is a lot of maturity and experience in playoff basketball. They got a little bit last year. You know, I think they got a soft schedule last year. I don't think this year is going to be a soft schedule. I think you're going to have to beat four really good teams to win a championship this year.
Yeah, and George Karl joining us here. Coach, thanks for joining us. When I look at the Nuggets and I look at them not finishing games off here down the stretch, and like you said, in football, you know, you play that third preseason game. That's a game that you really ramp it up for. And I see them not closing games out here with Jokic and the guys that will be trying to close games out in the playoffs, and I think that's a huge mistake. And can you talk about maybe, you know, getting their basketball legs under them, you know, to be able to play, you know, 38 minutes if they have to, 40 minutes, and they're not doing that right now, then all of a sudden we're going to expect them to do that when it matters the most in the playoffs. I don't know how that's going to be possible.
Well, the only thing I can argue against that, because I'm on your side, I like being in, like, the beginning of the season, I like being in the best shape in the world. I'm conditioning is a high priority in my training camps. And then the thing of finishing games off, I know coaches don't like me to say this, but there's a little bit of luck comes to winning games, a little bit more than people think. It's not genius you win games. Sometimes it's luck you win the games. But as Lombardi says, hard work and the commitment to the process is what brings you luck. And, I think it would have been fun to play a close game with the Lakers and have the timeout game going in the last 2 minutes.
Yep.
And see what happens. Even if you lost, it'd be okay. You know, the next day you wake up, you go on. I don't know. I think we all know that how you coach is constantly changing with the new era of player. In football they don't practice as much. In basketball they don't practice as much. It's a different game than maybe 10 years ago. Maybe 15 years, and it's definitely a different game 20 or 30 years ago. And this is a totally different scene. I mean, the bubble, playing playoff basketball in August. So I think we all are kind of uncertain and a little bit unknown of what we did. Is it going to work? And we just got to wait and see.
George Karl joining us. George, I know you were critical at a certain point of the NBA's restart. You believed that, and I saw you on Twitter saying that, hey, you know what, let's have respect for this game, and let's just cancel this season and restart it in the fall. Now that you've seen the bubble format, and none of us knew what it was going to look like, but now that you've seen the control the virus, that these guys are testing negative over and over, and you're seeing the product on television with the playoffs about to start, have you reconsidered your approach for the restart, or do you still stay firm on what you were saying previously?
I'm probably a little bit of both. Most of the games that I watched felt like summer league basketball. It felt like I was watching summer league in Las Vegas. I'm hoping that the playoffs will intensify and lift and elevate the performance and the energy of what's going on. But I can't deny that I sometimes when I'm watching it just seems false. It seems like it's fake. It seems like it's fabricated. It seems like it's you're forcing it on me. Rather than the flow and the rhythm of an NBA season, this doesn't have it. It's never going to have it. But, you know, there have been some very good games, but there also have been some very poor games.
Yeah. And last one, George, and George Karl, the legendary coach, joining us here live on Stokely and Zach. The matchup with the Nuggets and the Utah Jazz, what do you make of it?
I like it from the standpoint of matchup, because I think they're stronger at almost every position. You know, I don't think I don't think Utah, even with Donovan and Mitchell, is better than we are at any position. But I think, you know, I'm worried. I'm worried about, for a better phrase, the youthfulness of the minds of the Denver Nuggets going into Utah, because I think Utah is going to come out with it very disciplined, defensive minded, and they're a pretty good team. I think they're hurting with their off guard not being on the court. I think that's a big out. But I also think Mike Conley, who I think has had a very poor year, in my mind has always been a very good playoff player. And one of my favorite playoff players, to be honest with you. So I think he's kind of the wild card that Utah has on their side. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. But I'm a little nervous. I can't deny it. I'm more nervous than I thought I would be.
Well, I think you speak for a lot of Denver Nuggets fans, because there's just so much uncertainty. This young group of players have played in two playoff series total ever. And they were both last year. Both of them went seven, narrowly got out of the first round and didn't make it out of the second round against Portland. So I think a lot of us share that sentiment. Coach, we love having you on. So thankful to have you in the mix here at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon, man.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, George Karl. He's a little bit nervous. A little bit nervous.
It's time. Look, and I think my main point here is what I said to Coach right there at the end. You've got to get your body ready to finish basketball games off, okay? Who are the two best teams in the West?
The Lakers and the Clippers.
Right, bar none. They're the two best. What have they been doing down the stretch? They've been getting their bodies ready to finish basketball games off, because it means something. This is when you crank it up time. This isn't when you pull it back time, because you had that time off. You had a long time off. And then, you know, you can slowly, gradually get into the mix here of playing these quote-unquote regular/exhibition games, yeah, however you want to classify them. But towards the end is when you got to put the pedal to the metal and get your mindset right that, hey, this is how we're going to play, because playoff basketball is right around the corner. This isn't regular season basketball. This is when it matters the most, and now you're pulling the reins back. And then when it matters the most, you're going to expect these guys to be able to crank it up and be in great basketball shape and be able to finish games off. And I don't think they'll be able to do it. I think it's a bad mistake.
Be able to do it in the first round, like they're not getting out of the first round?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I would feel a lot better about their situation if they were playing these guys and getting them ready to go, because it's hard for an athlete to say, take a step back, and then like a week later, nope, we got to push forward.
Yeah.
And you always want to keep that pedal to the metal, and that's, for me personally, that's what I've found. Whenever we take the gas off, when we take that pedal off the floor late in the season, it's hard to get it going again.
And you have personal experience,
yes,
of this at the NFL level,
yes,
where you have everything
out,
wrapped up. You throttle down to 30 miles per hour and then are expecting to get back up to 100 in 3.4 seconds.
Yes.
I understand everything that you're saying.
I legitimately do.
And I disagree. I couldn't disagree more, Stoke.
With what?
Because here's my logic.
What do you disagree with?
I'm going to get there. Last night's game was bubble game number 7. You want to know what no one is going to remember? Bubble game number 7. What they're going to remember is the bubble playoffs. And a professional basketball team strategically going about the back end of what is basically seeding games. That's what these are. They are seeding games, going about it strategically for the best possible matchup when it matters the most, when everyone will be watching and everyone will remember how it goes. Strategically going about it to a matchup that is favorable. They've lost twice to Dallas. They beat them once by a single point. The team that they're playing, that they've executed and pulled off the matchup, is a team that they've swept.
The matchups are pretty much done.
But yes.
So that's over with. So you know, what's your disagreement?
No. There was a scenario where they could have matched up.
So
with,
you think,
with Dallas?
But it's over now, right?
Yes, it's over now.
They got another
after
game
last night.
They got another game.
Yes,
so,
at the start of the
so
game.
So now should they play that game it means something, or should they rest everybody again? That's mainly my point.
That's a good question.
Mainly my point is get your guys ready to go. I wasn't talking about, you know, more set the mindset of going out there and we got to win this game. We got to win every game. If you're trying to, you know, get the favorable matchup, okay, that's fine. I don't love that idea. But for me, the thing that I'm having a hard time with is not playing your guys late in basketball games, getting their basketball legs under them again, because they haven't played a lot of basketball. How much basketball has Jamal Murray played?
Not a lot.
You got to get him ready to go. You got to slowly start cranking his minutes up. What did they do? They played him like 200 minutes the first game, and then now they're not hardly playing him at all. That's a bad plan. Bad plan for Jamal Murray.
That is the Jamal Murray, how it fell for him specifically, is contradictory.
Yes.
Because you can't have it both ways.
It makes no sense.
So in that isolated conversation, I agree with you.
It didn't
make sense. His minute limits were 25, and he played 39 on the first game back from a hammy. Not a broken finger, from a hamstring. So I agree with you there. But when it comes to purposefully trying to lose a seeding game, which is what they've done for two consecutive games. They could have beat the Lakers. They almost beat them with the second unit. They could have beat the Clippers last night. It was a close game. So I have no problem in pro basketball trying to line up the best odds, because if they got bounced in the first round against the Mavericks, no one would remember bubble game number 7. We'd be like, oh, my goodness, like you just lost in the first round.
But what are you telling your team? What are you telling your team? You're telling your team we don't want to play the Mavericks. We're scared of the Mavericks. That's what you're telling your
team. I don't think you're saying you're scared.
A little
you're
bit,
you're choosing a path professionally of less resistance to benefit your bigger picture.
I actually like the path of, you know what, whoever wants to come play us, we're going to kick their butts, and it doesn't matter who it is, let's just play basketball and let's win basketball games. I like that approach the best, and as a player, I like that approach from my coach. It's just like we're moving forward. Every game we play, we're going to compete. Now, if we need to rest some guys to try to get them healthy, we're going to, you know, we'll navigate those waters. But you know, I like the Doc Rivers the approach. I like the
Frank Vogel Lakers
approach. Hey, play. We're playing right now because we got to get ready to play four quarters of NBA basketball and play at a high level. I don't give a darn who we play. They got to worry about us.
I like that mindset.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
I actually like that mindset. I just
you
don't
like the
have
mindset a mindset of, hey, let's play soft here and let's try to set up a matchup with this eighth seed.
We're just
taking third seed. Come on, man.
Look, I don't have. There's a difference between me pounding the table and saying this is the way they should do it and me saying I don't have a problem with it, because the Nuggets are focused on the big picture, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right. So we'll agree to disagree, and we're going to pick up this conversation a little bit later. Because
I got more.
You do, and there's other people that want to get tagged into this conversation, and we're going to let them jump in
Joe
there.
Joe Tarr wants some. I'll give Joe Tarr some, too.
You know, he's with you. He's with you.
Oh, he's with me.
He's with you.
Oh, really? I thought he was against me.
No, he said he wanted to share his notes with you.
Oh, I thought he was against me.
No, to which I said, enough people have helped Stoke with his homework. Let him fight his own battles.
My sister, bless her.
Training camp 2020 locked and loaded. We'll be breaking it all down thanks to our friends at Pro Green Denver Synthetic Turf Systems. Check out all of our training camp content at 1043thefan.com/camp. Stoke is going to be out at training camp. Fully padded practices on Monday, and he's going to see a brand new Bronco. The Broncos officially signed a new right tackle, and the road to him getting here is something you have to hear. Details next. The Broncos have officially signed a new right tackle. And the road to him getting here is pretty cool. Pretty cool. But DeMar Dotson signs a one-year incentive-laden deal worth up to $3 million, Stoke, if all the escalators are hit. Good news for the Broncos?
Yeah. They need a depth there, obviously. And they didn't have many options out there. This guy's played a lot of football. Didn't pay him a lot of money. If he reaches those escalators, hopefully he played well, and it's well worth it for the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I love the signing. Needed to add a veteran piece there, for sure.
Just needed to get done.
Right.
DeMar Dotson. Who is this guy? This is a guy from Southern Mississippi who came out of the draft at 6'9", 300-something pounds, didn't get drafted. Kind of unusual for a guy that plays in a conference like that with that kind of size, with seven rounds, and understanding the premier position that the offensive tackle spot is, for every single team to pass on him is kind of quizzical.
Nobody, I don't know about quizzical, but, you know, nobody taking a flyer on him, it has me scratching my head.
So it's quizzical.
No, I don't like that word. It's not quizzical. We're not, we got to find a better word for you. Quizzical is not a good one. That's a bad one. That has me confused.
Puzzled?
There you go. I like that better.
I just pulled up the definition of quizzical, and puzzles is literally in the definition.
Quizzical is a word that we would probably hear on, you know, Sandy in Orlando, right? Gotcha. You know, that's not our style.
And it ain't coming from Orlando.
No. I was trying to, you know, put him in the mix, give him a little bit of credit there.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, no, it does. How do you not take a flyer on a guy like that? With his size, it happens all the time in the seventh round, sixth round, especially offensive linemen. Yeah, it might be a little bit of a project, but he couldn't have been that bad. He's played over 10 years in the league.
So there's a reason, though.
Oh.
There's a reason. And Tyler Palumbus is texting me saying,
oh, Tyler, I see you.
Dotson only played basketball in college, only played football 1 year after a season. We were getting there, Tyler. We were getting there. Don't worry.
Ooh,
don't worry.
You're not the only one that has information on DeMar Dotson, Tyler.
Tell you what. Actually, Tyler's giving me a dose of my own. I'm always texting Tyler during our show. Like, hey, don't forget about that. I'm just trying to help. But I end up like texting him like four times during the show sometimes. So, DeMar Dotson. Man, Mike Kliss. Shout out to Mike Kliss, who will join us a little bit later in the show. He interviewed him yesterday and put out a really nice piece on 9news.com that I got a huge kick out of. You know, sometimes, you know, Mike's pieces will be like 28 words. I'm like, oh, okay, Mike, thanks. This one was awesome. This one was in depth. It looked at his career, and this tall prospect, he has a basketball background. All right. This is such a cool story. So he's a basketball player, but he's not great. Okay. Doesn't really play. I think he made one field goal in his career.
Oh, okay.
So he's a tall, and I'm taking this from Kliss of 9 News. DeMar Dotson was a tall prospect with a basketball background who, for his football tryout in 2009 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, showed up with, what else? Basketball shoes. No football. This is an NFL tryout. Doesn't show up with cleats. Shows up with basketball shoes.
Right, doesn't have cleats. Did he play football?
He played for one season,
okay.
I believe. One season. And we'll get into it because I want to continue to read here.
Okay.
Dotson said, man, I don't know what I was thinking. Today, I still don't know what I was thinking. I thought I was just going to do drills and stuff. I don't know. So I brought my basketball shoes. He won the audition, then went to the Bucks equipment room where he got everything but help. Dotson said, quote, I went to the equipment room and I told them, can I have some cleats? He cussed me out. He called me all kind of names. He asked me what size I wore. I said I wore 18. Do they have size 18 just hanging around the equipment room?
Man, I would not think so.
Well, turns out they don't. Dotson said the biggest size they had was 16. So that's what they gave me.
Wow.
Now, this is more from Kliss. He says, this was before the so-called new collective bargaining agreement, when teams had legitimately two practices a day. That was the life that you lived in the NFL. So the size 16 cleats made it through one practice, and then half of those size 16 cleats made it through one more. Dotson said, quote, I went out there in the morning practice, man. My feet hurt so bad. Two sizes too small. He says, I went out there in the morning practice, man. My feet hurt so bad. When I came out for the afternoon practice, I cut the toes out. Now my feet are hanging out and people are stepping on my toes. So the next day, I put my basketball shoes back on and finished the rest of camp like that. Are you freaking kidding me? This is the NFL in 2009. Right. Yeah. He's got a pair of Jordans on with no clear. Imagine trying to get leverage on a football field. I cannot imagine. Here's more from Kliss. He says, the seeker cleat saga may have been a humorous beginning to Dotson's NFL career journey that is now going on 12 years, but it's not the craziest. It's not even the beginning. An all-state basketball player at Alexandria High School in Louisiana. He's a Bayou boy like you, Stoke. Dotson played 2 years of hoops at Southeastern Illinois Junior College and then 2 years as a 6'9" backup center for Southern Mississippi coach Larry Astache. His last college basketball game.
Oh, Larry.
Yep. His last college basketball game was March 14th, 2008, a loss to Memphis in which Dotson made his only field goal attempt and pulled down three rebounds. Quote, after the game was over, the next day I went in the football coach's office and I expressed my desire to play. I had never played before. Never played in high school. Never played in peewee.
Wow.
Never played.
I wonder why he never played. You know, given that size, does it get into that at all? I haven't read the article, but, you know, given it being that size, you would think that you would, at some point, you're going to be on a football field.
You would think. But some guys, you know, football is, you know, basketball, especially in, you know, lower income situations, it's just easier to play. You don't anything.
I know, we're talking about the South. Football is, you know, I
sure.
mean, like you know what I'm saying? So it's not like we're somewhere else where you could just say, you know, when you're that size, hey, you're playing football.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is.
Sure.
So that's just kind of odd for
it's different.
Me.
It's
that
different.
He didn't, never played it at all.
It's different.
Yeah.
Maybe his dad was a hoops guy.
Maybe so.
You know, and we'll do some digging on that.
Because it's not like he's 6'2".
No.
I mean, he's 6'9".
Right.
Right,
but,
left tackle.
But a lot of people see 6'9 and say, basketball.
Yep, that's right. You're right.
Quote, this is more from Dotson. Quote, with the NCAA, you get 5 years to play two sports. So I had an extra year. I couldn't play basketball, but I could use the extra year to go play football. That's what I did. How about that? Coach Larry Fedora decided to put his 6'9" novice along the D line. When they snap it, Dotson, run after the guy with the ball and tackle him. Think about that. Again, more proof. If you don't know nothing about football, play defense.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't have to think.
Right. The smart guys play offense.
Quote, this is more from Dotson. And again, credit Mike Kliss for this article on 9news.com. Quote, I guess they wanted to put me someplace where I could learn quick because I only had August to December to play. I only had 6 months to catch up on, so I guess they thought the quickest position to learn was defensive line.
Yep.
This has proven you right. You have said this for years, partner. I'll give you credit here.
I mean, but seriously, you know, to just play defensive line, it's just like, all right, hey, line up and just get in the backfield, create havoc, and tackle somebody if you can. If you play offensive line, now you got to think about the play, snap count. If you've never done it and you don't have a long time to work on it, that becomes very difficult.
He had 4 tackles that season in limited playing time.
So he played defensive line.
Played D-line.
Unbelievable.
So that's how he didn't get drafted.
That's right.
No one saw him play tackle.
Right.
But Tampa Bay scout Dom Green, who is now with the Jets, took one look at Dotson's size and basketball pedigree and saw offensive tackle potential. NFL scouts love one-year football players who had played 4 years of basketball. How about that, man? That led to the tryout in basketball shoes, which led to, and again, if you're just joining us, Damar Dotson, new Broncos right tackle, showed up to his 2009 Tampa Bay Bucks workout in basketball shoes, which led to starting out on Tampa Bay's practice squad, then playing in 9 games as a rookie in 2009.
Wow.
Which led to 11 years in the NFL, all with Tampa Bay, and the past 8 seasons as a starter.
I mean, what a remarkable story.
My hair's standing up, dude.
Yeah, it's so cool. So cool how some of these things work out. And he took advantage of it. And this guy has played stinking 11, going on his 11th year in the NFL or his 12th year. How many has he played?
12. No, he's going into 12, yeah.
Yeah, so he's going into his 12. He's played 11 years in the NFL. And if it wasn't for one scout.
Dom Green.
Yeah, let's try you at tackle. Yeah. He wouldn't have played one down.
Incredible.
In the NFL. really remarkable story. Basketball to offensive line to defensive line to offensive line in the NFL. And it's just, wow, what a story. I'm surprised we've never heard that story before. Because it's just, it's a really, really cool national story.
It'd be like an E60 or something like that.
Yep.
It worked out, Dotson said. By the grace of God, it worked out. Kliss said, slow to put on cleats. Dotson isn't ready to hang them up. Even though he will turn 35 in October, and his wife, Maren, have, he and his wife, Maren, have four children living in Florida, the dedicated Dotson is moving 1,500 miles west to play a 12th season in Denver. Quote, I wasn't ready to hang them up. Tampa probably thought I was ready to hang them up. They didn't want to bring me back and give me an opportunity to play with Tom. He's talking about Drew Lock here. Quote, I heard he's really fired up and has a lot of great energy. I've heard nothing but great stuff about him. I haven't got a chance to see him play yet, but everyone pretty much loves him. More from Kliss. He had signed two contract extensions with Tampa, but this year's team decided to let him hit free agency. He talked to several teams, but nothing worked out. Quote, I was just being patient, and then this corona started hitting and guys started opting out. I had actually seen Juwan James had opted out, so I had my agent reach out and tell them I'm interested. He got a one-year deal that has $400,000 guaranteed and another $100,000 bonus if he makes the Broncos' 53-man roster for week one. He can make up to $3 million if he hits incentive thresholds. For now, the Broncos' plan is for Dotson to back up Elijah Wilkinson at right tackle and have Garrett Bowles start a fourth season at left tackle. But Wilkinson is coming off an ankle surgery, so it's not like Dotson has to concede. Quote, first of all, I'm going to do what the team asked me to do. If that's to start, that's to start. If that's to back up, that's to back up. I've been a starter the last 8 years in the NFL. My mindset is I want to play on Sunday. I haven't stood on the sideline since 2011.
I love the mindset. I love the approach. I love the signing. This guy, a pro, veteran player, gets it. And, you know, the hard thing for a guy like him when you're getting up there in age and you don't have an off season is the fact that these football teams during camp want to take a look at their younger guys that they haven't seen. Because they haven't had a chance to evaluate those guys to know who they're going to be. And now no preseason games. You know, they don't want you. I think we talked about this with Demaryius Thomas. They don't want that older guy taking reps away from a younger guy. If they bring that guy into camp, usually it's to play.
Yeah.
And so now they can't evaluate the younger guys.
And you were in that position before.
Yes, during the lockout year. In 2010, whatever year was.
Yeah.
That year, I had a really good year the year before with the Seahawks, and now I'm all of a sudden just standing out in the cold, just like looking for a team to go to and not getting any calls. Teams wanted to evaluate their younger football players, and that's what's happened to a lot of guys. But for them, the difference is, and the advantage for a guy like Damar Dotson, is guys can opt out this year.
Right.
And you see these guys opting out. Now what will teams do? Now they'll go look for veteran players. And that's what's happened for him. And so lucky for him that Juwan James opted out.
Yeah. Yeah. He may just go into retirement.
That's right.
If this weren't the case. Man, what a story.
Great story.
I am now rooting for this guy. Not Daniel Bard-esque, because this guy's had a long and great career in the NFL.
He's hit it out of the park.
He has. Best case scenario. But now he's new to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to root for this guy. He says, quote, obviously, I still believe I can play. I believe I have something to offer. I want to bring that to Denver. I'm going to give it my best, but whatever they ask me to do, whatever their plans are for me, I'll do whatever they ask me to do. If it's an opportunity to compete or an opportunity to come in and be a backup and bring my presence and be a mentor and help those younger guys, that's what I'll do. Man.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, he can bring that, some of that veteran leadership. I think when you look at the offensive line and you look at what they could use, it is that. A guy like Garrett Bowles, you don't think that he could benefit from looking at a guy like Damar Dotson, how he goes about his business, and maybe if Damar Dotson gives him some advice, he might sink in a little bit more. A guy like Elijah Wilkinson, right? You know, having that veteran presence behind him to help him, help guide him when he's going through some stuff. I think it's a great signing. I don't know, you know, doesn't seem like Juwan James is that type of leader. I don't know. But when you have a guy like a Damar Dotson, I think his voice will go a long way in that offensive line room because of his story,
yeah,
how long he's played.
Yeah,
it might go a long way with some of these guys that we need it to, with Elijah Wilkinson and Garrett Bowles.
Yeah, and once upon a time, Garrett Bowles hadn't played a lot of football before coming in the NFL either.
That's right.
Right? It was he was a lacrosse guy. He was a lacrosse guy, Bowles was. Often in trouble, kicked out of school, lands at junior college, just like Dotson. Just like Dotson. Did the JUCO route for 1 year. I believe it was called Snow Community College, somewhere in Utah. Ends up playing 1 year at Utah, and then finds himself in the NFL. Yeah. Now, Garrett Bowles, the first-round pick.
Right.
DeMar Dotson showed up for a tryout in basketball shoes, had to cut the freaking toes out during training camp.
I mean, they don't just have 18s lying around.
I mean, I've never heard of a story like that. Have you ever seen a guy in an NFL practice wearing basketball shoes?
I can't recall. Can't recall that.
That is absurd. That is absurd. Do you remember the time I told you I won that cross-country race in college?
Yes.
Basketball
yes.
shoes.
Yes.
Basketball yes. shorts, basketball shoes. These guys with the high and tights.
Right,
and
yes.
They're looking at me like, who is this guy?
And you had, and they probably weighed like 6 pounds each.
Seriously.
You know, the high top straps, all of this
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
Back in the old days, I mean, those things weren't light.
No joke.
Those things are about 5 pounds each.
No
on,
joke.
On each foot. You won that thing.
Won that thing. Love it.
You took a shortcut. Come on. You know you took a shortcut.
Well, the race was shortened because there was a storm.
So you were mudding it.
I was mudding
it. You were mudding it.
Yep.
So those high tops paid off.
Hey, you want to know what? Ugly goals win cups.
That's right,
like yesterday.
That's
I don't
right.
care how it comes, man.
I love it. I love that story.
This is pretty cool. Rooting for DeMar Dotson. The plan is for him to be the backup. That's what I think the Broncos are hoping happens.
Yes.
Mike Kliss has said that publicly.
You still going on the edge, the ledge there?
I don't feel great about it.
Not anymore.
I don't feel great about it because I know how connected Kliss is to what's going on, and he's publicly said the Broncos want Elijah Wilkinson to start.
And that's what I told you before Kliss told you anything. So, you know, you didn't have to hear Kliss tell you that. That's what I told you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I throw
challenge flags in the thumb.
Right, which is fair because a lot of times those challenge flags for you win. Okay,
right.
So that's fair. But when you look at the situation, they want Elijah Wilkinson to start. Right, that's the guy they think has that possibly could have a future here. So they're going to give him that opportunity again to see how he responds from last year. Can he get a lot better? And then, in case of emergency, here comes DeMar Dotson.
Right.
Right, so that's going to be the plan. Told you that a week ago.
You did. I give you the win.
I like that.
How about this? Seahawks cut rookie cornerback. Kemba.
Corner or quarter?
Corner.
Okay.
Seahawks cut rookie cornerback.
There you go.
Kemba Sutherland after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. The woman was wearing Seahawks gear to disguise herself as a player.
Wow.
Does that sound like a familiar story?
Wow.
I told that story a couple of weeks ago. Empire State Games.
Yes.
On the campus of Binghamton in
yes.
upstate New York. No women
yes.
allowed. I snuck my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, Ashley, into the dorm wearing all of our gear.
Yes. What'd y'all do? Why'd you sneak her in? What are y'all doing?
Catching up, man.
Oh, okay.
Catching up.
You said watching movies or something?
Kemba, I got to show you how to do it, Kemba.
Yeah.
You should have hit me. Mile High Memories presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air for episode 15.
So you voted. Your wife loves you telling that story.
To hear Sandy's top 15. But she's at work now, so she can't hear.
Oh, there we go.
I say whatever
perfect.
I want now.
I don't have to bite my tongue anymore.
Subscribe wherever you download your podcast or at 1043thefan.com. Oh, I love coming in here and doing this with you.
I can't believe that Dum Dum did that.
Crazy. Crazy. Just trying to get your career started. You get cut. Come on now.
I mean, you know the rules. That's like the first rule. You can't bring females into the hotel.
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
And they got security everywhere.
Right. Right.
It's just a dumb.
That's a dumb dumb for you.
I was waiting for it.
What are the odds Jerry Jeudy wins Offensive Rookie of the Year? How about Drew Lock to win the MVP? Our favorite long shot Bronco odds. Next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.